So there's three engineers and three accountants, and they're all traveling by train to go to a conference. At the station, the three accountants each buy a ticket, and they watch as the three engineers buy only one single ticket. "How are all three of you going to travel on one ticket?" asked an accountant. "We'll watch and see," said an engineer. So all of them board the train, the accountants take their seats, but all three engineers cram into a single restroom and close the door behind them. Shortly after the train's departed, the conductor comes by collecting all the tickets. He knocks on the restroom door where the engineers are, and he says, "Ticket, please." The door opens a crack. One single ticket comes out with an arm. The conductor takes it and moves on. The accountants see this, and they say, "Boy, that's a pretty clever idea. They really beat the system here." So after the conference, the accountants decide to copy the engineers on the return trip, save themselves a little money. When they get to the station, they buy one single ticket for the return trip, but to their amazement, the engineers don't buy a ticket at all. "How are you going to travel without a ticket?" says one accountant. "Watch and see," answers the engineer. When they board the train, the three accountants cram into one restroom and the three engineers cram into the restroom on the other side. The train departs. Shortly after that, one of the engineers leaves his restroom, walks over to the restroom where the accountants are hiding. He knocks on the door and says, "Ticket, please." Oh, some of you didn't quite get it. I'll give you some time, okay? There you go. If you're a guest with us today, I just want you to know you're not going to hear better jokes in town. This place has the best jokes. At least I keep telling myself that anyway. Your opinion might be different. If it is, just keep it to yourself. Okay, if you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14 and verse 25. We're really going to read a couple verses to start today, and I really believe that God has given me a great truth to share with you this morning that's really going to help you, something very, very practical. Today's message is not your normal cut-of-the-mill Easter message per se, but it is the message that God has laid on my heart, and this could very well be, even though it's not a cut-of-the-mill Easter message, it could very well be the most important message that I've ever preached on Easter because of the truth behind this and the ability that this has to change your life. I believe that God wanted me to speak this word today because I believe that there's someone in here that really needs this. You're getting ready to face a major decision. We're talking about the voice of God today, and you're getting ready to face a major decision, and this is a teaching to help you discern the voice of God. So every day we are all faced with decisions. Some of them are difficult decisions, some of them are very easy. And some of you, like I said, might be facing a decision right now, and you're asking yourself, what do I do with this? How am I supposed to handle this? And so what I'm going to teach you today is something that has helped me make very difficult decisions in life, and it's based on something Jesus said would happen right after the resurrection. The Word of God tells us that God will give us wisdom if we just ask for it. You need wisdom to make a decision? Ask God is what the Word of God tells us to do. But asking Him is the easy part. Listening is the hard part, and this is what most people have difficulty with. How do I know that God is speaking to me? I have asked God for wisdom, but how do I know for sure that it's Him? Of all the voices that I hear, of all the noise, of all the opinions of other people, how do I know of all of that which voice belongs to God? And that's the question we're going to answer today. So you need to listen and listen very carefully because this great truth from the Word of God has changed my life. And I'm going to share stories with you today to prove that. But it has this truth has the ability to direct completely steer your life in a different direction just by following His voice. So John chapter 14 and verse 25. This is before Jesus goes to the cross. He's speaking to His disciples. Basically, He's telling them, "Guys, I'm not going to be with you physically much longer." He says, after He's gone and He's no longer with them in person, He tells them how God will continue to speak to them, to lead them, to direct them. Here is what He says. John chapter 14, we're going to start at verse 25. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Now watch what he says in verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm just simply calling this message this morning the voice of God. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ as I present this very important truth. God, if you don't anoint these words, they will fall flat, they will be meaningless. But God, if you anoint them, they have the potential and the chance to change and transform lives. And so, God, that is what I pray today, that no one would leave this place the same as when they came in. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start today by telling you a story. And I've never shared with you some of the details that I'm going to share with you today. I told this to our staff a few weeks ago. But my family left Phoenix, Arizona, and we moved to Green Bay in the fall of 2017, so almost 6 years ago now. Can you guys believe that you've put up with us for almost 6 years? Can you believe that? I tell you what, it's because my jokes are so good, isn't it? I don't know why you moved to Green Bay. Is that what you said? I'm convinced it's just because my jokes are so good, so you keep me around. You say, Pastor can't preach very well, but them jokes are so good, we're going to keep him. Anyway, in the process of speaking to the leadership here at Green Bay, it was starting to get serious. The former pastor of this church had left not too long before that, and this church tried to merge with another church shortly after, and that fell through. So here I am, I'm option number three. As the talks progressed in Green Bay, I started to feel like God was calling us to the city. One day I'm sitting in my office at the church I was pastoring at in Phoenix. And my pastor comes into my office and he said, hey, do you mind if I chat with you for just a moment? I said, sure. And he comes in, he sits at a little round table I had just to the right of my desk. The church I pastored at in Phoenix is a very large church. It's very well known. It's what's called a mega church, which means thousands and thousands of people attend each week. And the pastor, he travels all over the world and he speaks. He's written several books. He founded the Dream Center, which today there are now more than 300 Dream Centers around the world. And it's our vision to plant a Dream Center right here in Green Bay one day to help the people of this community. That's a part of Vision 2040, what we call Vision 2040. Anyway, he's very highly respected, and I love him very much. And so anything he would ever speak to me, I would always take it very seriously. Anyway, he comes into my office and he says, I know you're talking to a church in Green Bay. I'm sure that's a great church. But he goes, another opportunity has just come to my attention and you'd be a perfect fit. He said, I currently sit on a committee at a very large church in Detroit, Michigan, and they're looking for a pastor. They have a very large television ministry. They reach thousands and thousands of people every week all over the world. He said, they're very active in their community. They would love to reach the inner city of Detroit. He said, it'd be a perfect fit for you. He said, you have the same heartbeat as this church. You could start a bus ministry there, unlike any other. They're a wealthy church, so you would have the potential to reach masses there. He said, I told them about you. They're excited. All you have to do is say the word. I asked him if he'd give me some time to pray about it. He said, of course. He left my office. And as soon as he left my office, another staff pastor comes in. He's another man that I respect, I love very much. And he said, son, he liked to call me son for some reason, I don't know. He said, son, I just heard about Detroit. Apparently it was the talk of the office. He said, you are a fool if you turn that down. He said, this is it. This is your opportunity. This is what you've worked hard for. This is God's time to bless you. He went on to say, I need you to understand something. This is a great church. He said that church owns a home that the lead pastor lives in, and it's worth $3.6 million. He said it's a beautiful mansion. And I looked it up. It was true. I couldn't believe it, but it was true. The lead pastor lived in a $3.6 million mansion. The church owned it. He went on. He said, on top of that, your salary will double. You're not going to have any housing expenses. Imagine that. He said, you're going to be set for life. You could give your kids the private education you've always dreamed of. You'd be able to do anything else that you've ever wanted to do. This is God's blessing. This is it. God's favor is upon you. So basically, I had two churches in front of me at that moment, Detroit and Green Bay, and I decided God's going to freeze us no matter where we go. Detroit, as one might say, was the golden apple. Everything about Detroit looked appealing. We would be financially set. We would be able to reach the inner city. Everything I always wanted. And then there was Green Bay. Green Bay has no inner city. And I knew Green Bay was a very tight-knit community, so I wasn't even certain that vision for outreach would even fly in this city. But on top of that, if we would come to Green Bay, we would lose our health insurance. First time in my life, we'd never had health insurance. And on top of that, we would accept a $95,000 a year decrease in salary. We made a pretty good salary in Phoenix. So those were our options. We live in a mansion, double salary, private school, inner city ministry, or no inner city ministry, no health insurance, and a huge pay cut. Well, as you can see, we're clearly not in Detroit, and some of you are thinking, dude, this guy has lost his mind. What is wrong with you? Well, I've never said I'm the brightest crayon in the box, but the reason we chose Green Bay over Detroit was one reason and one reason only: the voice of God. And you're going to understand what I mean by this here in just a moment. Every voice in my life was screaming Detroit. People I admire, people I respect were saying Detroit. Of course, because laying the option side by side, it's the safe bet. If you would come to me with the same option, I would tell you Detroit. I mean, it makes sense. It's the safe bet. But of all the voices I heard, there was one voice that was different, and there was only one voice. And that was the voice of God. And it didn't make sense to me, but I knew he was speaking. And I'm going to tell you here in a moment how I knew that the voice of God was speaking, because my goal is to teach you how to recognize his voice. Now, some of you are thinking, it doesn't sound like God gave you very good advice. Well, you got to know the rest of the story. And that's the reason I tell you this today. But before I tell you the rest of the story, let me tell you the details of our first year here in Green Bay. I'm going to be transparent with you today. I'm going to tell you things I've not told anyone, at least from this setting, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason I'm telling you. The first year here in Green Bay was no joke hard, and it was one of the toughest years of my entire life, probably the first year and a half, no doubt about it. This church was broke. The staff was disgruntled. The spirit of defeat was on this place, and I remember Sundays we had less than 100 people here in this big building, and that's how it started. We couldn't pay the mortgage, could barely keep the lights on. My family was struggling. My kids struggled greatly as they're now teenagers and come into a smaller community. The friendship cliques and schools have already been formed, and so they struggled with making friends at their age. My wife battled depression like I'd never seen before, and there were actually moments I thought I was going to lose her. Not only that, but shortly after we moved here, we had a scare one evening. She found a lump on her breast. She later had it removed, but I remember that night we're sitting in that cold bedroom and hear the wind coming through the windows, and we just wept together. I entered into a deep depression, and I struggled to find the strength just to get out of the bed, just to get out of my bed in the morning. I said, God, what have I done? I've given up everything. What have I done? I thought I heard you. You wouldn't have known it, though, because during that time, I'm a leader, and I've always been told as a leader, don't wear your feelings on your sleeves, so be a leader, and so you'd never know it. I'd put on a smile, and I'd come, and I'd serve, but I felt like a failure, if I'm just being honest. I felt like a poor leader. I felt like I was going to lose everything. I felt like I completely missed God, and if I miss God this much, what business do I have leading other people? And I would just sit here. I've told you this before, but I'd just sit here in this big auditorium with completely black, early in the morning, no lights on, and I would just cry out to God, and I would slam my fist on the stage. No one else was here, but I was just so frustrated. I was so hurting. I was so confused. Many of you don't know that, but it was during that dark season that God spoke vision to me, and Vision 2040 was born during that season, and we've already seen some of it come to pass. Well, here we are 6 years later. This church looks much differently than it did back then. God's doing an amazing work in this church. He's given us tremendous favor here in our community. There's been a remarkable turnaround despite a pandemic. Think about this, but thousands of people have said yes to Jesus right here in this building just over the last few years. It's truly remarkable how God has turned this church around. No man could do this. This is what the Lord has done. It's all been God. But now, as Paul Harvey used to say, for those of you that remember Paul Harvey, for the rest of the story. Just to be honest, I thought about that Detroit church quite a bit in my first year here. But after about a year and a half, I kind of lost sight of it. You know, I really paid no attention. It's in the past, and as time moves on, you learn how to adjust. You learn how to move on yourself. Saturday night, March 4th of this year, this is really what spurred this message on. I'll never forget this date, just a little over a month ago, so this is very recent. I had a dream, and I typically don't dream all that often, not dreams that I remember anyway. I can count on one hand the number of times God has spoken to me via a dream. He doesn't usually speak to me in that manner that I remember, but that night, God gave me a dream. In this dream, my wife and I were interviewing for the lead pastor position at a church, of all places, Detroit, Michigan. It was a large church. We were in the worship service, and I was standing next to my wife. We were listening to the worship team play. I was scheduled to preach, and then the church would vote on us to make the next pastor, to be the next pastor. And I looked at my wife, and I said, I don't think God wants us to be here in Detroit. We're not supposed to come here. She looks at me and says, I agree, this is not God's will for our life. So in this dream, I got up and I preached the message. Then at the end of the message, I said to the congregation, I'm so sorry, I have to follow God's leading here. I know you're going to vote on us to become the next pastor, but we're not supposed to be here, so there doesn't need to be a vote. I woke up and I sat up in bed and I thought, what an odd dream. Why would I dream something like that? That doesn't make any sense to me, but the dream was so vivid, it was so real, and it stayed with me. The dream lingered in my spirit all day. It wouldn't let me go, and it brought back to my memory that church in Detroit. So I decided for the first time in years to look them up just so I could try to make sense out of everything. And what I seen made my jaw hit the floor. I had to read some articles twice as I could not believe what I was reading. Last year, 2022, that church went bankrupt and lost everything. Pastor's mansion gone. Beautiful multi-million dollar church building that sat thousands of people gone. Television ministry gone. The church went from thousands of people and a great move of God to now what looked like less than 60 people. I called Kyla in. I said, look at this. You're not going to believe this. And we just sat there in disbelief and said, we are so thankful we listened to the voice of God. Because I see what God's doing in this place right now, the miracles that we're seeing in this place, the wonderful people that we have met. We would have missed it all if we ignored the voice of God. So how did I know, with all the noise, with all the voices that I loved and respected telling me something different, how did I know that God was speaking? Let's look again at verse 27 and look at what Jesus told his disciples, something he was going to leave them. Verse 27 again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It's the peace of God. You see, when we thought of moving to Green Bay, despite the circumstances, we felt a peace in our spirit. We had the peace of God. It was not a booming voice from heaven. It was simply peace. And on the other hand, when we would think of Detroit, there was an uneasy feeling in our spirit, a feeling of there's just not something right with this. Detroit made sense, and it was appealing to the flesh, but there was no peace. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So there's the ask. God, I need your help here. Now watch how God answers. Next verse, verse 7, and the peace of God. Now watch. Which surpasses all understanding. Translation, it might not make sense on paper, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the number one way God speaks to me. Peace is a powerful tool for hearing God's voice. Have you ever made a decision and you have a bad feeling about it, so there's no peace there? But it makes sense, and so you make the decision anyway, and then you come to regret your decision, and you say, if only I could go back and do that over again, I wouldn't have made that decision. You ever done that? Yeah, I think we all have. Now, why do you think you feel that? Who do you think is trying to speak to you? When you feel that, it's like the Holy Spirit is standing in front of you, holding up a stop sign, and he's saying, don't go down this path. You can go down the path if you want to, but I'm trying to warn you, stay off of this path. It doesn't lead to a good place. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. He is our counselor. Sometimes when God speaks to me and I need an answer, there's a scripture that will pop up into my mind, or I have an image come into my mind, or an idea will come to my mind, or sometimes it's through a dream, but that's not very often. But most of the time, it's simply peace. Most of the time. Peace is that still small voice that we read about in the life of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense, but there's peace. Now, were we nervous to take a sacrifice like that and come to Green Bay? Absolutely, we were nervous. Did I battle fear? Absolutely, I battled fear. Some will say that peace is the absence of fear, but I have found that not to be true, at least for me. I found that peace isn't the absence of fear. Peace is the assurance that despite my fear, I have the calm assurance to know that everything's going to be okay. It doesn't make sense, but that's why it's called the peace that surpasses all understanding. My flesh struggled. My flesh wanted to go to Detroit. I was still struggling the weekend we came to Green Bay and this church voted on us. After I preached that morning, we were in the back room with Pastor Jerry and his wife. He was the interim pastor at that time. I remember looking at him saying, if I don't get at least 95% of the vote, we're not going to come. I'm still trying to talk God out of it. Nothing about Green Bay made sense to me. Pastor Jerry looked at me and said something like, well, that's nice. Not even Jesus had a 95% acceptance rate. What do you say to that? I don't know what to say to that. It was like God used him to give me a spiritual slap. I needed that slap right then. I don't even think we got 95%. I think it was 92. I don't remember for sure, But we were supposed to be here. I knew we were supposed to be here. Your flesh, listen to me, your flesh will always want to take the path of least resistance. Your flesh does not like risk. The kingdom of God is all about risk. Your flesh will always want to take the safe route. This is why so many people stay stuck on the sideline and they never do anything great for the kingdom of God. They won't take a risk. And because of that, in their spirit, there's this uneasiness they can't explain and it never leaves them. And they struggle. Their flesh is happy, but their spirit grieves and they're walking around this life and they're feeling empty inside. They have no peace and they cannot find peace. And some of you feel like I'm reading your mail right now because you have no peace. Peace is never going to be found in a paycheck. It'll never be found in an earthly relationship. It will only be found in God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. But you say, man, look at everything you went through when you got here. The depression you faced, the struggle your family went through. Where's God in all that? And that's a great question. Surprisingly, a lot of people think this way. I don't know if it's bad teaching or what, but a lot of people think that if I obey the voice of God, life is going to be smooth. Tell that to the disciples who were murdered for their faith. God never promises us that. He never promises a smooth road. As a matter of fact, Jesus said just the opposite, because there's something about going through the rockiness of life that helps transform our character, and it was that first year here that God really did a miracle in my life to make me who I am today. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus says, John chapter 16 and verse 33. He said, I've told you all this so that you may have, watch, peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And that's what we celebrate today, his overcoming the world. You see, when God speaks to you, he doesn't guarantee the road's going to be easy, but he does guarantee you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You see, through that first dark year here in Green Bay, I didn't see it then because sometimes it's tough to see God working when you're in the middle of the storm. But I realize he never left our side. I see that now. He never once left us. As a matter of fact, I think back to that first year here, that dark season. Few times in my life have I ever been closer to God than I was in that first year. Because his word tells us that he is close to the brokenhearted. Like I said earlier, that was the season that Vision 2040 was born. So this is my process when I need an answer from God. Number one, pray. It goes something like this. I'm faced with something. Said, God, what should I do? I need wisdom. Your word says, if I need wisdom, I should ask. So God, I'm asking you. I need wisdom for this. Thank you for giving me wisdom. It's as simple as that. We overcomplicate this stuff. I don't need to spend an hour in prayer for that. It's a simple question as I'm sitting on my desk, as I'm riding in my car. God, I need wisdom. Would you please give me wisdom? I thank you for it today. A lot of times when people ask me for, they need help making a decision, that's what I pray over them. I pray over them, God, would you give them wisdom for this situation? Number two, so that's the first thing I do. Number two, I see if the word of God gives me my answer. Just to be honest with you, most of the answers you need are going to be found in the word of God. And God will never contradict his word. For instance, this is a big one. This is an example, because I've had many people say this to me, both men and women. God has told me that I'm supposed to leave my spouse because I'm supposed to be with someone else. Wrong. God did not tell you that. They're following flesh. How do I know that? Because it completely contradicts his word. God's not going to send you someone else's spouse. Marriage is sacred to him. Here's another one. These are just practical examples. Should I watch this movie that's littered with filth? Simple question. Well, what does the word of God say? These are the words of Jesus. And then you can kind of make your own decision. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 22. Your eye is a lamp, is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. The word of God says if you choose to allow your eyes to watch or view vulgar things, and this could apply to anything, your whole body in turn is going to be full of darkness. That's one of the reasons that my wife and I made the decision years ago, we're not going to watch rated R movies anymore. That's just a personal choice of ours. I don't want to be filled with that junk. You can do what you want. It's between you and God. But these answers are easy to me because they're already in the word of God, and the word of God answers them. But what if the word of God is silent on my answer? For instance, there was no specific instructions for me, do I go to Detroit or do I go to Green Bay? So what then? And then that takes me to number three. Do I have peace about this? Do I have peace or am I uneasy about this? I'm telling you, an uneasy feeling is like a caution sign from the Holy Spirit, don't go this way. It's still my choice. I can go that way if I want to. God is not forcing the decision upon me, but he's speaking to me, trying to direct my steps down the better path. Sometimes I'm faced with a decision and I don't feel peace or uneasiness either way. What then? Well, in those cases, and some may feel differently, but I believe that God is telling me either way is okay. You choose. If I'm at the grocery store and I'm saying, God, should I buy the Snickers or the Milky Way? He's probably not going to speak to me. Just buy one. As a matter of fact, just buy them both. But I guarantee you in life, God is speaking to you. You don't have to come to the pastor to get a word from the Lord. You don't have to go to a priest to get a word from the Lord. We can go directly to God through prayer and ask him for direction in our life. But the path he might ask you to go down might not be the easy path. But God is speaking to you. And the more you learn to listen and obey, the easier this gets to follow his calling. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that his sheep, his followers, listen to his voice. God is speaking. We have to learn to listen. And I close with this. We all know just recently we were faced with the COVID pandemic. I didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. So what do I do? I went through this process. I asked God. First thing I did, I prayed for wisdom. God, during my prayer of God, give me wisdom, God gave me the idea of feeding people. And when that thought came to mind, I had a tremendous peace come over me. I didn't know what it would look like at the time. I've told you this story before. I felt like we were supposed to open the doors of the church 7 days a week to feed people. I went back in the food pantry room after service that one day, and I seen that we only have enough food to last a couple of days. And God, I feel like you're telling me to open the door 7 days a week. I was scared to death, but I had this peace that despite the fear, everything's going to work out. I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I had the peace of God. And that was my green light, and look at the miracle that it has become today. And it was a huge risk. Shortly after that, all the conspiracies started. You probably remember those as well. People were saying that if a pastor isn't talking about a certain topic, it's because they are a coward. Other pastors were saying that if you're not talking about this topic or that topic or that, you're a coward. You need to be talking about this stuff. Basically, and you see this now, you didn't see it back then, all that stuff was opinion driven. I had an opinion, sure, but I had this uneasiness in my spirit to share it. There were some messages that I had written down that I was going to share some stuff. But I had a check in my spirit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because I felt like sharing my opinion in the end would cause more harm than good. So I said, God, what do I do? People are going to say I'm a coward? And as I was praying, the scripture came to mind of Jesus praying before he went to the cross. And he prayed specifically that his followers would be united. And I think of the great churches that are split and they go to nothing because of divisions in the church, and great countries because of division and inner turmoil, and how great nations are destroyed from within. And that was the word that popped into my mind, unity. Preach unity. I didn't want to talk about unity. I wanted to share my opinion, but peace was with unity. Great peace came over me, and I blocked out all of the noise of people wanting me to preach all of the nonsense, and I focused on unity. Some people left because of it. Good friends of mine left because I would not preach on the nonsense, but my peace didn't leave. At the time, it didn't make sense to preach something else of what I was being instructed to do, but I followed the peace that surpasses all understanding. And look at us today. We are stronger than ever. Most churches have seen decline since COVID, and we have seen amazing growth. Pay attention to the voice of God. Pay attention to the peace of God. God is trying to speak to you, and know this. Man will lead you down the wrong path. Sometimes, not intentionally sometimes, but man will lead you down the wrong path. God will never lead you down the wrong path. His is the only voice among millions that you will hear that you can fully trust every time. So again, number one, pray. Number two, check the word of God. And number three, check for peace. That is my process that I use frequently for hearing the voice of God. I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. Sam, if you could go ahead and come on back up at this time. Before you leave here today, I'm going to pray over you that the voice of God would become clear to you, and that you would learn how to distinguish the voice of God from the other voices that you hear. Because this following his voice truly has the chance to completely alter your life. It did for us. If we would have gone to Detroit, I don't know where we would be right now. I don't even know if we would still be in ministry. We lost everything. but the voice of God protected us. So, Father, today, I just pray for each and every one in this room. God, I know that there's some people in here today that has to make a tough decision. There's the popular decision, but on the other hand, there's that still small voice that they can't shake. God, I thank you for your voice. And I pray today, God, that this message would bring clarity to those that need to hear your voice today. And if not today, then tomorrow or next month. At one time in our life, we're going to all be faced with a major decision. And God, you said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. We thank you for that peace today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.